history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
Hello, Rob.
Good morning. Good
Rob,
morning.
Did you just say yeah at the end of your sting there?
I really like that last tune.
It's a good one, eh? That Manuel Darkhart song.
Really, really good. And then all of a sudden, I thought I was listening to like my headphones. I thought I was listening to something on my my phone, but it wasn't. And then all of a sudden, you started talking to me, and I'm freaking out.
What? You're on the radio, Rob. That's what's happening right now.
Okay, right into it. This, now, do you remember the other week when I talked about how brilliant I thought animals were?
Yeah.
When that first bird thought it was a good idea to sleep in the armpit of a giraffe.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
I thought that was really clever. This thing just blew my head. It's still all over the house because this just done my head in, right? When their pollen supply runs short, bumblebees bore tiny half-moon-shaped holes into the leaves of flowering plants, causing blooms to appear 2 weeks to a month earlier than untouched plants.
Ooh. Okay, wait, so one more time. So you go.
They bore tiny half-moon-shaped holes into the leaves of flowering plants, causing blooms to appear 2 weeks to a month earlier than untouched plants.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Well, right, this is like, I just realised this bloke's name sounds made up, but it's not. Mark Mescher, professor of environmental systems science at F. Zurich, spotted bumblebees munching on leaves during an unrelated experiment and wondered why.
Okay.
Now, he'd heard anecdotally from other research teams who observed the same thing, but at that point, no one had ever wondered why they'd done it and done studies on them. So, turn over the page, dun-dun-dun. So what he did was, in early laboratory experiments, he got two lots of bees, didn't give one lot any pollen for 3 days, and the other group abundant pollen resources.
Ooh.
When released into the enclosures full of flowerless tomato and black mustard plants, the deprived bees began nibbling at the leaves with gusto.
Nibbling the leaves with gusto.
That's how I ate my dinner. Anyway, while the other group, they just couldn't be bothered. They just like buzzed about and just did their own thing. To confirm that the hungry bees weren't simply eating the leaves or carrying the bits back to their hives, paper cones were placed underneath the plants to catch falling debris, leaf bits accumulated at the base of the plants. And they checked the hives, and there was nothing there, and all the bits were there, so they weren't eating them.
So they're just chopping them out. They're just chopping out these little half-moon shapes.
So
doing some craft.
Okay, well, and they discovered that the wild bees, they did it as well. But once the flowers started to flower, they'd stop doing that behaviour.
Okay, so they were just trying to get the plants to flower.
Yeah, so, right, this is where it gets even crazier.
My brain is really, my science brain is really cranking this morning. I'm trying to keep up.
Me too.
Next, the researchers tried putting cuts into the leaves themselves. The plants didn't do anything. They didn't flower.
They're like,
anything.
Can you leave us alone, please?
Which has now led the conclusion that there must be something in the bee's saliva that triggered a reaction. Or alternatively, the bees may release some unknown chemical cue or else damage the leaves in a highly specific way that scientists cannot yet replicate.
Wow.
Biochemical changes occur in plants subject to drought or other environmental stresses, and look like the bees are just doing the same thing. How the hell do they work that out?
Bees are just so cool.
That's crazy.
They are just so cool.
Do you know what I wrote next to it? I wrote aliens, ?
I mean,
that doesn't surprise me, Rob.
Because straight off, right, no way should they be able to fly. They're huge and they've got stupid little wings.
I know.
Hey, that's a bit harsh to the bees.
I didn't mean to body shame a bee. I'm so sorry because I love them. I'll take a couple of steps back there. But they shouldn't fly.
They're probably very light, you know. They're very small.
Okay.
But their wings are also very small. Everything's proportional. I don't understand it either. I completely agree. The aerodynamics are all off there.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel really bad body shaming the bee now because I love bees.
I think the bees will forgive you.
I'm hanging my head in shame.
Oh, anyway. Sorry, Rob. I didn't mean to call you out, but, you know, sometimes these things need to be said.
We need to tell people when they do stuff like this.
You're not wrong. You got to hold your friends accountable. Hey,
exactly.
Rob, you texted us this morning saying bees and fridges. That was obviously bees, but what is fridges?
Okay, well, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. I was looking for some distractions over the weekend, and I saw all this stuff's going on. The world, we're really crazy. But there's been a big thing about whether you should keep chocolate in the fridge or not.
Oh.
And Cadbury's, this is in Australia, Cadbury's, have said, yeah,
don't
keep it in the fridge.
Keep it in the fridge.
So you've got to keep it in the pantry.
Oh, okay.
In the fridge. Now, I 100% disagree with that.
What? You keep your chocolate in the fridge?
I go as far as dark chocolate goes in the freezer.
What?
Rob, I think you this might be alone in that. I'm not sure. Nah. I'm not sure that's a thing.
Is this a
chocolate
thing?
Chocolate biscuits in the fridge. When you dunk...
Yeah,
right?
chocolate biscuits go in the fridge.
Well, they melt
not a chocolate bar, though.
When you get, like, a bit of dark chocolate out of the freezer and you dunk it in a cup of tea, and it's just unbelievable. This is almost as bad as magpies. You either like it or you don't.
That's actually very true. I hadn't thought about it. I thought you were going to say Marmite, but magpies also definitely works for that now, Drew. Yeah, you either love them or you hate them.
And then what they did, they had this thing next to it with what should be in the fridge and what should be in the pantry, right? In the fridge, apples, yeah, I get that.
Yep.
Raspberry jam, fair enough. Peanut butter. Are you joking?
No, what? I would never put peanut butter in the fridge.
Nah, you
it's on my desk right now.
You try to spread peanut butter when it's in the fridge.
Yeah, it's so difficult.
Spreading solid
what
cement.
What about, is eggs on that list? Because this is a debate I have with my flatmates.
That's in the pantry. Yeah. Instant coffee should be in the fridge. I don't drink instant coffee, but that should be in the fridge. And tomato sauce, yeah, I agree with that. Right,
no,
pantry,
I disagree
egg.
With the tomato sauce.
What? Wait, what? That's gross. Tomato sauce goes off if you leave it in the pantry.
No, it doesn't.
That is just not true.
Not if you eat it fast enough.
Yeah, but how do you eat that much tomato sauce?
Oh, Rachel.
Do you drink it, Jess?
No, I don't drink tomato sauce.
Hey, calm down.
Yes.
Right, in the pantry, you've got eggs, tomatoes, chocolate, no, marge. You're joking.
Wait, what was that last one? Marge.
Margarine.
Ooh, in the pantry.
And a bottle of Moët. I mean, we've all got a bottle of Moët.
Don't you want the bottle of Moët in the fridge? Who wants warm Moët?
Well, it doesn't taste any better if it's cold or if it's warm. It's horrible.
I mean, that's fair, but I
was so disappointed the first time I had some proper champagne. It was horrible.
Actually, maybe people do drink champagne at room temperature. I don't know. I don't drink enough champagne to know.
Okay, well, we'll try to remedy that this year, Tess.
Try
what? Are you going to bring in a bottle of Moët to the studio?
Yeah, of course.
We'll chip in $2 each. We need a few people to chip in.
Let's get some crowdfunding going for that. Come on, let's get
a bottle of Moët. To do a scientific experiment.
I feel
actually, this is for science. Should it be kept in the pantry or in the freezer? We need to know. Yeah. We're going to crowdsource a bottle of Moët.
You've really given us a lot of shocking information today, Rob.
I'll tell you what, the worst thing was that peanut butter in the fridge.
Yeah,
that is ludicrous.
Yeah, that's awful. I think we can all unite and say that we might have our different opinions about where the chocolate should go, but peanut butter doesn't go in the fridge.
Who gets to decide this?
Cadbury's, apparently.
People in charge of just posting something. You can do it yourself.
We could come up with our own list.
Yeah.
So that was bees and fridges. You said you had a poem, but it's far too rude to read on air. So we'll save that.
I'll tell you what. Can I just, have we got time? You know, you said I could have, like, my favourite all-time, like, festival.
Oh, yes, thing. Yes. This is what we were talking about last week, if you were going to have a dream lineup.
Could I do it really quick? It ended up as a two-dayer.
Go. Oh, nice. What have you got for us?
First off, starts off with a rock steady set with Judy Mullet, Marsha Griffiths, Dawn Penn, Stranger Cole, and Hobson Lewis.
Oh, nice.
And then you've got Aswad, Black Uhuru, Lee Scratch Perry, and the Mad Professor.
This is going to be great.
And then another set with DEE, Dizzy Rascal, Skepta, and Wiley.
That's your grime night.
All together on stage together.
Yeah, doing a whole set together.
That'd be mean.
And then Fleetwood Mods, Joy Division, Susie and the Banshees, The Jam, Stone Roses, Happy Mondays, Bjork, Bowie, but just doing Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, just that.
Faithless and Prodigy, and the night finishes off with Carl Cox.
Is that just the first day?
That's the first day. Then the next day is Fat Freddy's, Sade, Kate Bush, Nina Cherry, Amy Winehouse, Grace Jones with Flying Robbie, Groover Mulder, Aretha Franklin, Prince, Leftfield, Chemical Brothers and Massive Attack. Thank you.
I'll tell you what, Rob, if this was a festival, I would 100% be going, and I think you would sell out your tickets in about half an hour.
I feel like you've just listed some of your favourite artists there.
That's the point of the game, isn't it?
That's all it was. I wanted to put Jimi Hendrix in there, but he didn't really fit.
He just have to have his own night, just the Jimi Hendrix night.
I reckon that would be just awesome to be able to watch him.
Yeah, 3 hour guitar solos. I reckon you could probably do just Jimi Hendrix on his own for a night, because he could just noodle away on the guitar for hours and you wouldn't get bored. It would be awesome.
Someone's texted in, Rob, to say we should run the fridge list by Natural Ange and she'll tell you what's what.
Yeah, she'll know where things should be going.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to get in a row with her. I've seen her. She scares me.
Hey Rob, that was a very good very good dream festival lineup. I reckon you'd have a lot of people going along to that festival. Asked for a song and I actually couldn't find the song, but I'm gonna go with Kate Bush because she was on your lineup there.
Running up the hill. Is it Running Up the Hill?
We've actually gone with Cloud Busting today. Because it's got the sample that you like.
Yeah, really, really love her. Sunday morning, you start off real light with Fat Freddy's and Sade and all that.
And then
I really like how much you thought this through, Rob.
That's great.
Fantastic.
That's why I need to get out more. So I'm going to start doing that next week.
Fantastic. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you, and hopefully that will be very soon.
Yeah, and a bottle of Moët up there, otherwise I'm not coming up.
All right.
See you, Rob.
See you next week. Have a good one.
You
see
too.
Take out.
Bye.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bullocks, only on 95 BFM.
And as promised,